All right. 1-2, 1-2. You know how we do. It's your boy BQ, and this is the Moving the Needle podcast, where every once in a while I'm going to talk to you guys about something going on in the world of Impact that has a little bit more to do with the business side, the marketing side, the promotional side, growing the company, etc., etc. So let me throw this out there first. I have to make a major apology. Many of you know I was on vacation, so we've been out of pocket last few weeks. Haven't done any kind of episodes whatsoever. We've been using StreamYard now, which is a fairly simple software to use. I'm still a little bit new to it, and I accidentally scheduled a live stream for last night. I was actually just kind of messing around with some settings. And, you know, I wake up this morning and I saw that there's people in the chat room like, hey, where's the stream? And I felt like absolute dog shit. It's not professional of me. So I deeply apologize to those who are hanging around and looking for a product, because it's the worst thing I can do when I say I'm going to do something and I don't do it. And I know that happens a lot because I do my best when it comes to my personal life to scheduling. You know, I carry a planner around with me at all times. I have notebooks, and it's just, it never goes according to schedule. So I really do feel bad anytime I'm like, hey, this is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. But something like that is even just more damaging, you know, to the brand in general, when people think there's going to be a live stream and then there's nothing. We are going to be returning with the Cool Factor podcast. We have an episode planned, and for those of you who sat in on the live stream, or tried to at least, those are the topics we're going to be talking about. We're going to be knocking out the show today, tonight, and it's not going to be an Impact review. At this point, why review the show, right? So, you know, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I apologize to anyone who sat in on that or attempted to. It's not professional of me, and I have to be better. I'm aware of that. But that's why I wanted to come with this Moving the Needle podcast this morning, because I am home. I am available for a little bit. And I came across something last week that I thought was interesting from Brian Hebner's podcast, which I listen to time to time. And he was talking about, to his knowledge, Impact, you know, towards his end of the run with the company, to his knowledge, the company was trying to get another TV deal, a better TV deal. So I wanted to talk about it because my thoughts on the whole TV thing have actually changed quite a bit. I was on the wagon with a lot of you for a long time saying, well, there's so many different ways to consume a show, and there's no excuse not to watch Impact if you want to watch it. You can go on YouTube. You know, at one point there was Twitch. There was all these different ways to watch the show. You can get on Impact Plus, download it for free, and watch it the next day or whenever it is that they upload it. So I was on that train, that wagon, with a lot of you guys saying, you know, television doesn't necessarily matter. But I had something that changed my way of thinking the other day. A lot of you know I'm a big basketball fan. I like NBA, I like WNBA, I like them equally. I watch them both. But there's some comparisons I've started realizing with Impact and WNBA. It's the little brother, the little sister. They don't have the viewership, they don't have the attendance. People don't take it as seriously. People aren't maybe paid as much as they should be. You know, people have a hard time watching it a lot of the time, whether they're just trying to, you know, find the show or the game, or if they actually do catch the game or the show, I'm comparing the two again, they find any little reason to dislike it. So there's comparisons. Again, I like both equally. I watch probably more WNBA than I do NBA, just because there's a lot of teams on the men's side that I don't like, and a lot of players I don't like. To where with the women, I pretty much like all the teams. I have my own team, yes, but I can watch any game and be entertained. So I'm in a, and the other, before I get to what I was going to say, the other comparison is kind of the median age of the audience. And you've heard me talk about this a lot, and I talk about it with TW, that Impact has to find a way to get younger. They got to get younger in their viewership, get a better target demo, you know, when it comes to the ratings and all. They've got to find a way to be better about that. I've brought up the ECW thing. ECW was on TV. I'm 42, okay? I'm almost 43. ECW was on TV when I was like 17 or 18 years old. And those are the people that for a long time, and it was only on for like a few years. It wasn't even that long. It wasn't even that popular, to be honest. And those were the people they were targeting for a while with the RVD and Dreamer and Sandman coming on and Raven and all these dudes. And you saw how old they all are. And that's what they were targeting for a long time, and I never understood it. I did not get it. So it's been something that I've been, you know, kind of hammering on them for a while now. And I noticed with the W, it's really, really similar. Like, I went to a game. My favorite team plays out of Indianapolis. So I went to a game, I don't know, last month. And I was realizing, man, a lot of the people around me are old. And I was talking to a lady after the game. We were just, you know, two fans chatting. I mean, she was in her 70s. And months ago, I came across, I was at the grocery store. I had an Impact shirt on. And some ladies, oh, I watched that. She was like in her 70s, you know. And kind of like the social media also for like the WNBA is not always like real. It's not real popping, much like Impact's. And it's because a lot of the viewership, when people are like, oh, well, no one watches it. Well, like, people do watch it. But there's, it is not a vocal, it's a, what's the opposite of vocal minority? It's a non-vocal majority that watches it. There's an older audience who doesn't really use social media and hang out on Twitter and get conversation going on all that. So much like they need to find a way to get younger, Impact does as well. So there's comparisons. But what really changed my way of thinking regarding this whole television thing, because I was always feeling like, okay, they're content with Access TV. They own Access TV. They know that if they, as long as they stay there, that it's safe. So I was always like, I don't see them moving on because there's all these other ways to watch the show. But this is what changed my way of thinking, is that I was talking on a Facebook post the other day, WNBA page, and someone was saying they have to get a better TV deal because there are so many games that I can't watch that I have a hard time watching or being able to find them. And I responded, I said, I watch just about every game that I can. And I've, you know, with the exception of one day in particular where I remember nothing was on TV for some reason, I was like, I've been able to watch whatever I want to watch in one way or another. And she said something that resonated with me. She's like, that's because you're a fan who goes out of their way to make sure they're watching the games and get the information. You know, you're in the know. It's basically what she was telling me. And that kind of hit me because these are the ways you can watch a WNBA game, okay? Obviously, it's on television, ESPN or NBA TV. Not everyone gets NBA TV, though. Sometimes they stream games on Twitter. Shut up, cat. Sometimes they stream games on Twitter. They stream a lot of games on Facebook. They stream on Prime Video sometimes. I want to say they had one or two games on Peacock this year. I'm fairly certain they did. There's the WNBA app, which is, you know, League Pass. I think there was one other that I name off five or six different things. So much like what I've always told the wrestling world or a lot of wrestling fans say, there's lots of ways to watch. There's lots, if you really want to watch, you're going to watch. But the thing is, especially with the older audience, but the thing is, a lot of people just want to watch it on TV. They just want to flip on the TV and watch what they want to watch. They don't want to jump through the hoops. they're not going to go out of their way to find out what hoops they need to jump because maybe it's not really that serious to them. So that's the way I look at wrestling fans. I think there's some people intrigued with what Impact is doing, but they're probably not going to go out of their way. Okay, let me download Twitch. I know they don't do Twitch anymore. Let's sign up on YouTube. Let's download the app. A lot of people don't like watching on their phones, obviously. So there's a big wrestling audience that doesn't want to do all those things because if you compare to WWE and AEW, they're on a couple different major networks. And all they can do is just watch. They just got to turn on their TV and watch the show. That's it. There's no hoops to jump through to watch their product. So now I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? They might do okay on Access TV. They really do need a better television deal. They should be shopping. Because if you want more people to watch, you have to make it easier to watch. That doesn't mean more options to watch. More options doesn't mean anything. If the options are difficult for people, or they're not options that people want to do, then they're not going to. They're not going to download this app and that app to watch it. Because it's not convenient. So what Impact has right now is a lack of convenience for a lot of people. There's a casual wrestling fan, and I don't mean casual wrestling fan like... I should probably find a better way to explain that. I don't mean the person who watches sports entertainment sometimes because it's on TV. They're not a huge wrestling fan or whatever. I think what I mean is more someone who's like, I watch WWE and AEW hardcore. I guess I would watch Impact if it was on, you know, if I'm channel surfing, whatever. So there's that audience out there. But if it's not convenient for them, they're not going to tune in. You guys feel where I'm going with that? Now, what are the chances of them getting a better TV deal? I think that the thing that's most working in their favor, is that they're the highest rated show on Access TV. From a viewership standpoint, from raw numbers. As far as the target demographic, those numbers stink. That goes back to what I said earlier. You got to get younger because the older you get, the less people are going to seek out those other options to watch your show. Grandma is not going to download Twitch. Grandma is not going to find out how to become a subscriber on YouTube. So the raw numbers, I think they can say, hey, you compare us to the other shows on Access TV, we're the most watched show on there. But I think that's their strongest negotiation tactic personally. You may disagree. They probably disagree. I am positive, because I know people who have done like job interviews with Impact and stuff. I know the kind of stuff they say to people. I am positive that they will go to a television network and be like, but we have 4 million followers on YouTube. And we have 200,000 followers on Twitter or whatever it is. I don't remember. We have X amount of million people who like our page on Facebook. Those numbers sound amazing. But the engagement numbers, a television network is going to know to look at the engagement numbers and the view to subscriber, or is it the other way around, subscriber to view ratio. What the subscriber to view ratio is if you have 100 subscribers, you should be getting at least 10 views on your videos. The 10% is a sign of an engaged audience. Like, you're not going to get 4 million people watching every single upload. That's impossible. Subscriber numbers are vanity metrics. Just like here at the lounge, 7,000 subscribers. That's a vanity metric. 10% of that is 700. My content typically is in the 700 range. Sometimes it's less. there's times it's more. When I was more consistent with the channel, it was a lot more than that. But obviously, life has happened. I can't get to that point again that many people want me to get back to. It's just not really possible. But if I have 700 views on something, I'm typically pretty pleased. The more subscribers you have, you know, it is a little harder to get that 10%, but that's still a number you look at. Anyone who knows YouTube, though, and knows social media, like really, really knows it, knows that those are vanity metrics and that is it. I mean, think of some of the wrestlers you follow on Twitter has 40, 50,000 followers and they tweet and five people like it. You feel what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what that subscriber base looks like. If the engagement is shit, it's not going to look good to a prospective network. So the raw numbers will help them. The engagement will not. They got, what, 4 million subscribers on YouTube? They got content dropping, you know, 20,000 views. They're not even close to 400,000 that they should be at. Not even sniffing it. But it's because they've conditioned the audience to only care about the old content, not the new content on there. There's a big disconnect with that. You know, so I'm sure that that's what they do. When they sit down, again, I know people who have kind of like interviewed with them or have been told about people who have. And I know the kind of things that they hit you with. And they should. They should sound that like they're bigger than they are. That's how this works. Dixie Carter sold Pop TV on, well, we used to get 1.3 million people watching. She sold Pop TV on that they could potentially get 1.3 million people watching on Pop. And I know that because if you remember back when they got a network, the network execs or the owner of the channel had said, you know, we're hoping to get 1 million viewers for the show. And then it debuted at 300,000. And that's what it was getting. But that's a real thing. They thought Dixie Carter sold them on 1 million because she was throwing all these raw numbers out there at a lesser experienced network. But some of these bigger networks are smarter than that. So I think it's going to be difficult for them to improve from access. I mean, improving from access is not that difficult if you're talking about comparing networks. You can almost go anywhere and it'd be better than that. But as far as getting on a network that people, you know, that fans want them to get on, it's probably not going to happen. But I do think they can double their viewer audience. That's what I think would ultimately happen. I don't even think they would get back up to the 300 plus thousand they were doing on Pop TV. And that just goes with the how we consume TV and DVR and all that. More people day in day, or with every day that passes, prefer DVR. But I think they can double the viewership fairly easily. Let's just say they're averaging 100,000, which I think that is the average. Sometimes they get up to about 120 or so. I think they could do a 220 on a new network, 225 pretty consistently. But if you think about AEW Rampage, which is not an extremely popular show, on a bad week, it's still doing 500,000. And you're talking about a lot more money involved, a more engaged fan base, a lot of, when I say smarter people running it, I'm not degrading Scott D'Amore or anything like that, but Scott D'Amore comes off a little bit more as a one-man show. I know there's people underneath him. I get that. But I say that because everyone's wearing a lot more hats than someone at WWE or AEW might be doing. They have larger departments. They have specialized departments. So with all that being said, I don't think they would get up to... I think some people are in the impression, oh, they get 500,000 viewers if they got off at Access TV. Like, that is not going to happen. The other thing that's going to hurt them as well... Sorry, my mic cut off for a second. The other thing that's going to hurt them as well is the presentation of the show. That's one of my favorite topics to talk about, right? And the reason I say this, I'm going to reiterate this because I've said it before. Reason I say this is because they are on TV right now. They come across like a YouTube show. And that's probably what, I mean, that's probably how they're done by design. You know what I mean? Like, it's on Access TV. They're not going to break the bank for the production quality. It looks like a show that should be on Access TV, and it sounds like it. I mean, when they're doing the backstage promos, and there's the shadows on the wall, and the echo in the hall. I mean, these are all, I say amateur mistakes. They're not being amateurs. They're just on Access TV, so they're giving you an Access TV wrestling show. The problem with that, with being closer to how MLW and NWA looks than how NXT looks, that's a problem when you're trying to shop to a network. Because the only wrestling shows on TV, I'm talking television, not YouTube, are Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, and Rampage. So if you are comparing the way Impact looks and sounds right now to that, a bigger network is not going to be like, let's get in on this. It's just not. It's like me with my webcam and, you know, amateurish setup that I have, going over to like What Culture or one of these like real huge channels and be like, hey, can I stream the Impact Lounge on your channel for your millions of subscribers? I'm not using an HD camera. I don't mean webcam, but there's, you know, HD cameras you hook up. I didn't spend $1,000 on a microphone. I'm in my office. I don't have a professional setup, but can I be on your show? Can I be on your channel? Like, obviously not. Because I'm just going to look like some jabron YouTuber. It's like when you show up to work the first day and you got a tie on when no one else has a tie. Like, you dress to impress, or they tell you dress for the job you want to have. Or, you know, if I wanted to step up my opportunities, I would have to step up, even at the cost of losing money, I'd have to step up everything around me financially as far as how my channel operates, how it looks and sounds. So you cannot take the current Impact product and go over to, I'm just saying for sake of argument, USA Network. Obviously, they wouldn't be on USA. I'm just saying for sake of argument. You cannot take this product and be like, hey, what do you think? No, it looks like an Access TV show. So that is the step that I think they have to be like, okay, we might lose money doing this, but this is going to be the presentation of our show going forward so that we can dress for the job that we want. Instead of wearing polos and jeans to work, they are now wearing a suit and tie. They're wearing a suit and tie to go to work at McDonald's because they want that. They want a corporate job in the big city in the future. You weird analogy, but I think you understand where I'm going with it, what I'm trying to say. So, but I'm in support of them improving the network. I'm no longer on that bandwagon of, well, they can get on YouTube and they can do this and this. All that, the YouTube and all that, that's for the hardcores. That's for the Impact fans. I cannot miss an episode. If I'm on the road, if I'm at school, if I'm at work, I cannot miss the show. That's what all this shit is for. But if you're talking about growing and expanding an audience, it has to be as convenient as possible. The show has to be on television, on a better network. Because I was like, just get off TV totally and just stream. I was damn near close to thinking like that. But it doesn't make sense. There's too many inconvenient options to watch it. And you might disagree, because what's inconvenient for you is not inconvenient for someone else. What's convenient for you is not convenient for someone else. But if you improve the target demo into a demographic that wants all those platforms and cares about all those platforms, like grandma does not, you cannot tell grandma to subscribe to the YouTube Insider. The people that you're trying to bring in from ECW, you cannot, you know, they used to watch ECW and they're in their 50s now. They're not going to become YouTube Insiders. You feel me? That's it, folks. I hope that this sounded okay. I'm on a brand new microphone with settings and all this crap, and it's driving me insane trying to figure it out. So I hope this sounds okay for you guys. I'm your boy BQ. Thanks for checking out Moving the Needle. I'm out. Peace.